Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Whether you're watching this on YouTube, listening to this wherever you grab your podcast audio content, thank you for checking it out. When you get the opportunity, visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of 400 plus podcast episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store, learn more about our fall men's retreat, learn more about the herd, etc. I want to remind you that the Friday podcast is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork, darkwaterkc.com. Now, when you go to darkwaterkc.com, you're going to find a plethora of products. We always highlight the beard care products because if you use the discount code that I'll give you in the podcast today, you'll save money on your next order. But what Doug really wants me to tell you this time is this: a portion of all beard care product sales will go directly to the Central Missouri Stop Human Trafficking Coalition. And that's the question we all ask. What can I do to help? Doug says, here's something you can do. You buy some beard care products from him. He takes a portion of that. He gives it to that coalition. Listen, if you go to his social media, you'll see him meeting with those people, bringing them checks. And I know Doug doesn't just send them a check. He's been a part of their conversation. So, men, click on that link in the show notes. You'll learn more about what Doug's doing, more about Darkwater KC. It's time for today's podcast conversation. So we are continuing our study, our walkthrough, the book of Ephesians. I don't know if you would call it a study as much as a walkthrough. We're not plumbing the depths too greatly, but we are looking at who's writing it, who's he writing it to, what's the purpose of writing this book, and then what's the application? What are some things that we could take away from this so that we have a greater understanding of what Paul wrote and what, you know, there's people who have no clue about any of this stuff, and we can be a Bible to them. We can be the closest thing to understanding Scripture or understanding the purpose of the Bible to people who have just incredibly false pretenses about what Scripture is about. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe they were never around church. Maybe they just were told church is evil, wicked, whatever. You know, I don't know if it's our job to convince them otherwise, but it is our job to love them well, right? Love God, love our neighbor. That's what we're going after. And through that, we might have the possibility of winning some to Christ. I told my wife last night, there was a guy handing out flyers in our neighborhood. And you could tell he had a stroke. And I got talking to him. I said, so, you know, what's the deal here? And he said, last summer he had 7 strokes in 7 days. I didn't know that was possible. And he has a tree service and they do landscape and they do all the move pavers. And I said, well, who does the work? He said, well, mostly my sons because I can't get disability. And so we got talking more and I thought, well, we got one. So I said, okay, Steve, that was his first name. How can I pray for you? And he's like, life is good. So I'm going to fast forward to later that evening. I told my wife, I said, I just don't understand that. I said, I just don't understand this guy who he goes through all this stuff. 2 things. One would be Steve has a better attitude about life than I did. Life is good. I'm like, he's got one arm. He's got 40% in one leg, nothing in the arm, and he can't get disability, and he's limping around the neighborhood trying to hand out. He says he hands out 10,000 flyers, and he folds them 3 times. That's 30,000 folds he has to do with one arm. How's he do it? I don't know. I said, he's got a better outlook on life than I do. Not always, but in that moment, he did. But secondly, you never consider the being on borrowed time. He had nothing to pray for. I don't need anything. Well, we're going to pray for you anyways. So I prayed with him there, shook his hand, left hand, and sent him on his way. Not doing his tree service, but I appreciate that. Like, what an opportunity for this person to be walking in front of my house at that point and getting to pray with him. And it was humbling. Humility. Not a topic that we talk a lot about in men's ministry. I was thinking this past weekend, we had a new member class, never talked about humility. We talked about statement of faith. We opened it up for questions. We talked about the Bible. We talked about getting involved in the church, things of that nature. But I don't ever recall talking about humility. I don't recall too many times in teaching. I know it's clearly happened. If I go through Philippians, here's an obvious place where I've talked about humility. It's like that old adage, you don't want to pray for patience because God will give you opportunities for patience. I don't think we're praying for humility either. I don't think we got a bunch of people around saddled up praying for humility. God, give me opportunities to be humbled today. I don't think that happens. God gave me one with Steve walking by, that's for sure. Philippians 2:1, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in spirit, any affection, sympathy. Kind of feel like Paul's setting him up here a little bit, don't you? He said, do you have any encouragement in Christ? Yeah, I got some. Any comfort? Yeah. Any love? Yep. Participation in the Spirit. Yeah, we went the other day down to the market. Yep, you did that. And affection, sympathy. You got any of those things? Yes, I do. He said, well then, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Paul says, I'm going to give you four things that I want you to focus on if you have any of those things. But you don't understand, our church is a mess, man. They're all complicated, they're all messy. And I think if you are a gospel-centered church, if you are trying to preach and teach the Word of God, equip the saints to go out and go live on mission for what they believe, I think you're going to have a lot of problems. I think you're going to have a lot of challenges. I was talking to a friend of mine who sent me a message. We had Jersey Mike's for our membership class. He said, I was trying to go in there just to get a free sandwich. I said, you should have. You could have helped me with some of the questions. And I just gave him a few of the topics we covered. Prophecy, speaking in tongues, infant baptism, women in leadership, others. And his reply back was, what does the Bible say? I said, yes, that is the right answer, right? Like if someone asked you that question in that setting, it would be convenient to say, well, what does the Bible say? Well, Jared, how do you feel about women in ministry? Okay, well, what does the Bible say? What do you feel about infant baptism? What does the Bible say? How do you feel about the sinner's prayer? How do you feel about, what does the Bible say? But you can't do that because you want to equip the people who are listening. And you know that some of them are trying to get you into a word circus that they can find a way to use your words against you. That's okay. It's a good reminder of what Peter said. Always be prepared. Give a defense for what you believe, but do it with gentleness and respect. You're probably going to make mistakes. You're probably going to step over yourself a time or two as you're speaking. But boy, what a better group to talk to than people who are curious about joining your church. That's about as low-hanging fruit as it can get. He said, I want you to have the same mind. You and your church have the same mind. You say, I don't go to church, Jared. I go with some buddies and we go out fishing. Y'all got the same mind? No, not really. Not if you drill down to anything important. Having the same love? Y'all fired up about the same things? Being in full accord, one accord, unity, right? It's like Acts 15, writing that letter to the Gentiles. We want you to be unified in this and of one mind. There it is again, the mind. You know why? Because I believe a lack of humility starts in the mind. When you feel your feathers ruffled, it always starts in your mind. Something happens, someone does something, there's a result of something else, and in your mind you say, I don't deserve that. I don't have to take that. You don't know who I am. You don't understand this. You know what position? Do you know what title? Do you know that I overrank you? Do you know that? That's where it always starts. It always starts in the mind. He says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, I want to say this. You know, if you followed along with this podcast for any period of time, that I've said hundreds of times, I don't believe the Christian life is meant for us just to be a doormat where everybody walks over us. I don't think that. I don't think that's the case. But I do think we are to follow the example of Christ and we are to serve one another. In particular, the people within your own fellowship, within your own camp first. Let me say why. When Jesus gets the towel on around his waist that night and he washes his disciples' feet, he has a whole message and he said of that they should follow his example, what he has done, they should do it for one another. They will know you are my disciples by your love. But everything is about that one another in that room. What was he trying to teach them? He's trying to teach them you all need each other. Because here in a little bit, you're all going to run away. You're all going to fly away, take off, go different directions. Jesus is the one that brings them back together. He's the one that begins to unify this group. He's the one that empowers them through the Holy Spirit to stand up, to proclaim the gospel, to go plant churches. And yes, they're eventually going to go off, but they're going to go off in unity. They're going to go off and saying, hey, we don't want to break fellowship, so let's continue to serve the Lord. You go that direction, I'm going to go this direction. But there isn't dissension amongst them. think the hardest people in our lives to really love and really serve and really wash their feet are people who are the closest to us. There's a lot of churches, I think, that have no problem going out and loving on their community, feeding the people who are hungry, helping the homeless, loading backpacks for the kids in the school, you know, doing laundry for those who can't do laundry. For those are fun things to do sometimes, right? Because it makes you feel good and you know you're making a difference. It's harder to humble yourself to that other individual within your church, within your home even, within your community, who's getting on your nerves, or who always thinks they're right, or who always has to be in leadership, or who always turns passive aggressive, or who, whatever, fill in the blank, right? Like, I've served in a number of churches. I know the problems are the same. They just look different. You go to a different church and you say, oh, there you are. It took me a while to recognize you. You just look different here. Because the same behaviors are there. The condition of the human heart hasn't changed. I think it's a lot easier to love on a guy named Steve walking by the neighborhood to try to encourage him, pray for him, than to take the time on a Sunday or a Thursday. I'm recording this on the National Day of Prayer Day. On Thursday, to stop and pray with someone who's got something in our church or some of their issues. I'm like, oh man, we're going to talk about this again. It's on the prayer list for 6 months. We're still going through this. I told my elders the other day, why must there always be a problem? George Costanza quote, why must there always be a problem? There's always a problem. There's always a thing. I think it's easier to love on people and then go retreat. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. By the way, humility is your discount code for today. Humility, all capital letters, one word. If you think you have humility down, and there's times I think I'm doing okay with it. I'm saying, I'm doing all right. I think I'm walking with the Lord pretty well. I think I got this humble thing down. I would encourage you to try this practice. I only do about once a year because I'm really, really bad at it. And that is when you go to like a supermarket, maybe a Costco or Sam's. You know, we got a Meijer grocery stores here. We got Kroger's, whatever. Hy-Vee if you're in God's country. Instead of like just pulling in the back and picking a parking spot and parking in the back and walking up there, go to the very front of the store. Make one loop where everybody's walking in and out. You know that where they have that stop sign and it's like all the lines on the ground? Go there and then go find your parking spot. Because depending on the time of day that you go there, you could sit there long enough that you actually run out of gas. Because people are coming in and out. And I don't mind the old people. I don't mind the people with kids. I don't mind the people who have the handicap and they're going to go slow and I don't mind the person who wasn't paying attention and they dropped their watermelon. Man, I'm okay. Hey, man, give them the wave. No worries. Yeah, you're okay. Yeah, you're all right. Go ahead. It's the person who feels entitled. That's the one that drives me crazy. The person that doesn't look up, or the person that gives you that side eye look or whatever, and they have this air about them that they're entitled, that you should continue to wait for them, even though they walked from like 3 blocks away and they know you've been sitting there a long time, they could care less. It's that person that I'm like, you know what? I should have just went. I should have just drove off. I should have made you wait. That's not humility. That's the opposite of humility. Because the right thing, hey, go ahead. Yeah, you're all right. Yeah, whatever. For the people who are, you know, needing help, but the person who, they have that air about them, it just drives me crazy. I was told you before, I'm sitting at, my wife's in a Party City type store. We're next to a pet store. And I can't tell you how many people parked in the handicapped spots who clearly were not handicapped. Unless lazy is a handicap, they weren't handicapped. And I'd sit there and I'd just be fuming. And I'd be putting a story together in my head of what type of person this is and based on their car or how they're dressed or how, that's not humility. That's the opposite of humility. God opposes the proud. You see, when I'm in those positions where I start to get angry, I start to bow up a bit and think, who do you think you are? I put myself in opposition of God because suddenly then I am my own savior and that ain't going to work. Paul says, we got one. He said, don't look at your own interests, but the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He says that in 1 Corinthians 2, I believe, verse 16, that we have, that we have the mind of Christ. He said, think like Jesus. But though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God anything to be grasped. He didn't play that card, did he? But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now that's how you start a new member class. This is who we want to be as this church, as this small group, as this men's group. Well, how are we going to do? We're going to empty ourselves like Christ. We're not going to count ourselves any more holier or wonderful than we are. We're going to count other people better than ourselves. I'll tell you what, if you can figure out a way to do that within whatever Christian community you're a part of, you got something. And you got something that people are going to pay attention to. They're going to say, I mean, I don't know who these guys are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're about. But man, they're making a difference. Once again, I don't think you have to walk around looking downcast, wearing sackcloth and ashes all the time, saying, "What's you okay, man?" Yeah, just practicing humility, brother. Just practicing humility. I don't think you have to be Eeyore to practice humility. I think, as Christ did, he never once lacked confidence in who he was or what his mission was about. That never changed. And even to the point of death here that Paul's talking about, he knew the exaltation was way greater than the crucifixion. He knew what was ahead, and he knew it was worth it. Listen, if you let someone go ahead of you, you serve others, you count others more significant than yourselves, you got to go, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. There's some people in life who really struggle with this. And I'll tell you what, there are moments in my life that I know I really struggle with it too. There's just certain things that I know, hey, I'll even talk to myself, don't do it, don't say it, don't react that way, it's not a big deal. And I think some of that's based on how you're raised. I think it's based on some life experiences. But at the end of the day, if we could have the mind of Christ, if we could understand this text a little bit better, say, we're going to pursue humility, it would change a lot of people immediately around us. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven on earth, under earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, that's about as good as it gets. So however low you think you're low in yourself, you're going to go a little bit lower. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Whatever we're going to do, let's do it for the glory of God. Amen. Thanks for listening. Thank you all for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.